This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, conservative icon, and the author of more than 20 books, including The Supremacists, The Flip Side of Feminism, and the revealing new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
It's not any accident or just good luck that America grew into the greatest, most prosperous nation in history. As I explain in my new book called Who Killed the American Family, the fact that the nuclear family was the standard way of life and the basis of our economic system had all sorts of good implications for our economy. A professor at the University of Virginia, Bradford Wilcox, has explained some of the good results from his research. He says that adults are more likely to behave responsibly from a financial perspective when they get and stay married. Married men work harder, longer, and smarter. The children of intact families are more likely to complete their educations and then find employment. If strong families are good for the economy, what happens when families are absent? The poverty rate for married couples with children is only 6%. The rate skyrockets to 36% for single parents with children. It's easy to see the link between single parenthood and poverty. The prevalence of single parenthood means that the United States has much more poverty, and so the big government liberals rush in with welfare programs. They don't get rid of poverty, they just make problems worse. When women receive government cash handouts and other benefits from 78 different taxpayer-paid funds, that discourages them from looking for a job to support themselves. When Republicans passed the 1996 Welfare Reform Act, that imposed work requirements on people receiving welfare. But President Obama unilaterally banned that work requirement. President Lyndon Johnson declared a war on poverty in the 1960s, but we've been losing that war ever since. We have now spent more taxpayers' money fighting the war on poverty than we have spent in all of America's many wars.
The destruction of the nuclear family has left Americans turning to Big Brother government to provide health care, education, babysitting, and an erratic moral compass. The new book, Who Killed the American Family, exposes the forces that orchestrated this disaster. Get your copy autographed by Phyllis Schlafly at a special discount at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had 3 bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all. And it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, November 25th, 2014 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next hour. And I'm sorry about the music, but evidently there's a technical glitch. One night it's the Dixie Chicks, next day it's money. But I have to say, folks, I just listened to that show before me, and that's a tough act to follow. Clint Richardson, T.J. McCann, and John Stadtmiller talking on that topic. You know what I feel like right now? How many of you out there saw the movie about Jerry Lee Lewis when he came out in 1957, sat down at the stage, and at the end, his last song, he set the piano on fire? and then when he left, Chuck Berry was waiting to go on stage, and who was it? Dennis Quaid played him. He got up off the piano when it was on fire, walked to the back of the stage, walked by Chuck Berry and said, "Follow that, killer." That's what I feel like right now. What a tremendous show, John Stadtmiller. That was absolutely amazing, and my hat's off to both you, Clint Richardson, and T.J. McCann. I'll tell you what, I'm going to set a little premise on this program. John said he wasn't going to talk about Ferguson. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. But before I do that, I want Dan to play a little clip for you, because this is what our president thinks about us. Now, I don't think he's thinking about us, the listening audience with RBN, because you guys are pretty awakened Americans, okay? But this is what he's thinking about the general populace. Go ahead, Dan. Play that clip.
People, you know, they're going to want that new car smell. they want to drive something off the lot that it doesn't have as much mileage as me.
I wonder how that's going to make you feel, though, as this campaign's going on. You think you'll be itching to get back out there, or glad to let someone else?
I tell you, when I think about the next 2 years, I just want to, every single day, be making this government work a little bit better for ordinary folks. If I'm able to do that over the next 2 years, then not only will I be serving the American people well, I think I'll be serving a potential successor well. They're probably not going to be looking at me to campaign too much. One of the things about our society, which is great, is that we don't have real long memories, and we get impatient for the next thing.
And it's worked for you before.
It's worked for me before, and I think at the end of 2 years, if they want me to do some selective things, I'll be happy to do them, but I suspect that folks will be ready to see me go off to the next thing.
Well, there you have it, folks. One of the wonderful things about our society and Americans, according to Barack Obama, is we have short memories. That's George Stephanopoulos interviewing him, and George kind of interjected in there. He said, "That works for you, Barack." And yeah, that works for him pretty well because of all the atrocities he's pulled since he's been in the presidency. But, you know, I have to interject this as well. for speaking for me and the listening audience out there. No, we don't forget. We remember everything. As a matter of fact, we record it, Barack, and we know exactly everything you said and didn't do. And it kind of reminds me, in this instance, it reminds me, you know, a woman never forgets anything. I was married for 20 years at one point in time, and I can recall times during my marriage, some good, some bad. My then wife would bring up things that I did years ago, didn't have any recollection whatsoever that it even happened, and she would point it out literally verbatim. And you know what? I knew better than to argue with her about it, because with a woman, you just don't win an argument. They have a tool that they use, folks. I'm not going to go into any detail about it, but we all us men out there know that it's better to just shut up, bite the bullet, apologize, and get on with life. Well, that said, I'm going to get into a little bit about Ferguson, because, you know, I've got a... oh, by the way, the phone lines are open throughout the program, 800-313-9443. But the question is, Ferguson, why a nighttime announcement? Why did they wait till 9 o'clock at night to announce it? During the height of the months-long protest in Ferguson last summer, the police said the demonstrators could protest all they want as long as they stayed home after dark. Now, the reasoning back then... troublemakers from outside the city come in to create chaos under cover of darkness, making the police's job of maintaining order difficult. And yet, even though a grand jury reached a decision on whether to indict Officer Darren Wilson by Monday afternoon, the decision wasn't publicized until hours later, around 8 p.m. in Missouri. And what was the decision? Well, the grand jury does not indict Darren Wilson. And Obama speaks about it as smoke fills the streets. I went into Doug Owen, friend of mine, used to own Oracle Broadcasting, and he's got an article on that up there, and he's got pictures of the devastation that happened in Ferguson last night. I mean, they literally burned that place to the ground. They were setting fire to car lots and buildings and so forth. I mean, they were really upset. So, friends of Darren Wilson speaks to CNN. Jesse Jackson's civil rights have been violated. Reporter in Ferguson, it's mayhem. Ferguson, what's next? So, why the officials wait so long? How prosecutor defended the grand jury's decision? Missouri Governor Jay Nixon was asked by reporters about the nighttime announcement, and Nixon said the decision was made solely by St. Louis County prosecuting attorney Robert McCulloch. CNN senior legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin said McCulloch's decision was foolish and dangerous. He says, I find this completely bizarre, and it's a bizarre decision to do this at night, Toobin said. Here's the thing about that time of night. It's dark. Anyone should have known that the decision in the Brown case would have been controversial. The crowd control is always more difficult in the dark. And CNN legal analyst Paul Callan noted that the announcement was supposed to be made at 8 p.m. Eastern time, but was rescheduled for 9 p.m. Eastern time. So why would you be moving it to another hour? I think the only reason can be is they didn't have their security forces in place. Initially, prosecutors were expected to give law enforcement 48 hours notice from when the grand jury made its decision to when the announcement was made, but that clearly didn't happen Monday, since the decision and announcement came on the same day. But there may have been advantages in keeping the decision secret for hours. Most businesses are closed and there's less traffic. Now, I can understand, maybe he wanted to make sure that all the students had left school or that everyone had cleared out. And that was said by community activist John Gaskin, and that was referring to McCulloch. He also went on to say, but he could have easily made this announcement tomorrow morning. And also, chilly nighttime weather can sometimes deter violence, though Ferguson's near-freezing temperatures overnight didn't stop the agitators from looting businesses and setting dozens of buildings and cars on fire. And I'm talking about not just cars on the street, folks. I was looking at some of these photos. They were setting car lots on fire. And I don't mean to laugh about it, but this was serious business. Benjamin Crump, the attorney representing slain teenager Michael Brown's family, said Brown's parents didn't know what the decision was after dusk fell on Ferguson, and they found out that the jury had reached some sort of decision from watching CNN. It was very painful on behalf of his mother and father that they did not get the notice that they were going to find out before the media found out. Now, to add insult to injury on this, and John on the air, when he first came on, John and I talked earlier today, and I heard the call in yesterday with Renee in North Carolina, where she said that the officer didn't have any injury to his eye, and the photo came out, okay, the photo of right after the event took place, And John told me on the phone, he said, well, I guess I owe Renee an apology. Well, he apologized to her on the air, but yes, she's right. And John always gives credit where credit's due. I'm going to go into this a little bit as well. The most important details in Darren Wilson's grand jury testimony came on page 77 and 78 of the transcript. He was asked if he filled out an incident report on the shooting, and Wilson explained that the protocol in such cases is to contact the Fraternal Order of Police representative, and he will advise you of what to do step by step. And when asked if he had committed his recollections to paper in a diary or journal, Wilson replied, quote, my statement has been written for my attorney, unquote. And that's between you and your attorney, then, asked the exceptionally helpful prosecutor, who received an affirmative reply. So no one has asked you to write out a statement, the assistant DA persisted. No, they haven't, Wilson acknowledged. We'll continue with this. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. They stick around, more to come.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all. By mail, anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama 36576.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. And I forgot to mention, I had a caller that called in the other day, and I think it was the end of last week, and the subject of Susan Lindauer came up, and he asked me how long it had been since I'd spoken to her and if I was going to get her back up on my show. Well, I talked to Susan today, and Susan will be on my show next Monday night. Put that on your calendar. I haven't talked to her for a long time. I'm sure she's got a whole lot of new stuff in her arsenal. So make it a point to tune in, folks. It's always a pleasure to have Susan on the show. Okay, we're loading up with phone calls. I got three on the line. Renee, you'll be third. Larry, you're second. Fred in Michigan, let's go. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Michael. So the police department have been militarized. I remember in Michigan in the 90s, I came out of the military, and my buddy and I decided, hey, we're going to attend some militia meetings. It's pretty much consistent with protecting the homeland historically, and the duty of a patriot and all that. So what did we meet at the militia meetings that we scrutinized here in Michigan? Were veterans, including combat veterans from far back as World War I at that time, all the way up to the present. No wacko extremists of any kind did we meet. Just basically true blue grassroots patriots. And then Ted Koppel and Nightline, Peter Jennings, etc. These people are, radical extremists, demonized to the max. And now that I've learned about communitarianism, that would be Francis Lieber's General Orders 100, Law of Necessity, Martial Law, which commenced in 1863 with Abraham Lincoln and has continued unabated ever since. We're witnessing just another installment of communitarian law, which, if you're at all studious, you can access a book entitled Rite of Conquest by Sharon Corman, K-O-R-M-A-N, Sharon Corman, Rite of Conquest. You can look up a treatise entitled A New Sense of Humanity, Occupation Under Francis Lieber's Code, authored by an Israeli legal scholar, Rotem Jaladi, J-I-L-A-D-I, Jaladi, Rotem, R-O-T-E-M. A New Sense of Humanity, Occupation Under Francis Lieber's Code. So what has happened ever since is basically just martial law or martial rule, law of necessity, and it's right out of the Talmud, T-A-L-M-U-D. Nobody that I'm aware of has ever studied the Talmud, and yet the Talmud is the origin of all this wickedness that we're witnessing now.
Well, I have to disagree with you. Reverend Ted Pike, who's been on my program a half a dozen times over the years, he has studied that intensely, but I find it difficult to pick up a copy of it. They're very hard to find. But with that, Fred, I'm going to have to let you run because I got a couple more callers on the line, and I want to get into the rest of this stuff I've got going today. But I wrote this down, Rite of Conquest, Sharon Corman. So I'll look into it, all right? Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Larry in Oregon. Larry, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
In Ferguson, there's three kinds of people. And the first one that I would say is the people that are there because they know the government is engaged in misconduct and corruption, and the only way they can address it because the elections are rigged is to go out on the street and peacefully demonstrate, which the law allows them to do. They have the right to assemble peacefully. You have other people there who want to create violence, who want to burn police cars and destroy people's businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are not the same people. That's not the same mental status. If you're thinking of freedom and exercising your freedom in corrupt government, you don't solve that problem by going around and burning people's cars and stuff like that. It's more likely those are agent provocateurs the government has provided.
Oh, I would not disagree with you a bit, Larry. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Go ahead.
And also the third category are looters, and they're not there for any kind of constitutional rights or anything they would understand. They're there to pick up some free merchandise. So we have to be careful, because what's happening is the people that are legitimately complaining about bad government are being smeared. It's a smear campaign to say, oh, those people are looters and rioters. That's not the same people. And that's my comment.
All right. Thank you very much. And I appreciate it, and I agree with you. Let's go to Renee in North Carolina. Renee, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I heard you. I'd be embarrassed if I was that cop. I mean, those photos of his face, really damaged. He hit you so hard, you were afraid the third punch might knock you out or kill you. Look, I'm 63, a woman, and I slapped him hard.
No,
I mean,
sure you're right. Go ahead.
Wait, I'm not the only one. I just caught some clips of Nancy Grace, who I generally don't like because she still carries that prosecutor bias, which can be really tough-nosed. And she said the same thing. Like, really? These photos? Really? This justified 7 shots? They should be embarrassed about that. I mean, because, you know, there was, look at the pictures. I mean, it's you know, embarrassing.
I saw him. I saw the pictures, and I didn't see any marks on his eye at all.
I couldn't find anything either. That's why we know that whole eye socket broken thing was a hoax, okay? There was a picture that somebody passed around. It wasn't even of this fella. It was some motocross driver who had gotten in a wreck or something. So that's been completely debunked. But those pictures of his supposed damage were ridiculous. And I have another little piece of advice for you boys on how to stay out of trouble. No, all men.
Oh.
You see?
Oh, okay. On the subject of women don't...
of women and their memory. Well, like I say, think about it this way. If your wife or girlfriend did you really dirty on something, you know, like banged your best friend or something, it would be burned into your brain. The person who is a victim of wrongdoing remembers more because they're the ones that were on the receiving end and they were hurt.
Renee, you're jumping to conclusions, okay? Because when I brought that broad term out there, okay, I'm not just talking about my ex-wife. I'm talking about any woman I've ever met. All women have this ability to remember everything verbatim. And I that's an accolade for them. I'm not saying taking anything away from them. But as far as the gentlemen are concerned, I'm just saying don't screw up. And you don't have to, I'll use your term, bang somebody. You know, you might just, you know, forget to put the coffee on in the morning. You know, just anything. It doesn't matter. They remember everything. So, go ahead.
Person generally, you could. This is a clue. I can always tell in a situation who the perpetrator is. If the person's talking about, oh, well, you know, and the government does this all the time. Well, you know, that's in the past. We need to move forward. Ding, 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 perpetrator. See, they don't want to look back because they want to move forward and forget. They don't want to deal with it. Where the person who is the injured party, They need to look back, and they need some sort of justice and stuff.
Okay,
so
take a deep breath and say, "Kus fraba," and I'll hold you over if you like. I got to go to a break, okay? We'll be back at 3.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Micro Plant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Micro Plant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. And we're going to go back to Renee and let her expound on why women all have photographic memories. Go ahead, Renee.
Well, you know what, though? There's a way for men to turn that into a plus. If you do all kind of sweet things.
I'm not saying it's a minus.
He's going to remember that, too. Okay? And you will benefit, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. And let me say this, okay? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love women. They're the most beautiful creatures on the planet as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It just is, you know? And I don't think, I can't recall ever meeting a woman that didn't have that talent, you know? So it's cool. It's not a demeaning comment, You know,
I've heard this complaint often, okay? And generally I find it's because she remembers something he did, okay?
Well, the thing is,
I'm telling you, there's a way you can be thrilled that she has an excellent memory, because she will remember all the wonderful things you do too, and, you know, you will reap the rewards in reciprocal kindness.
Okay. I'm giving you all advice here, okay?
Well, I guarantee you this will work.
Maybe I should turn this into a relationship show, okay? I mean, I'm just out in the dating world. That's all. I'm just saying that's something I've found to be true with women, is they don't forget anything. You know, I thought I had a really good memory, but I mean, they're photographic, you know, they don't forget a thing. So anyway, it's not bad. It's all right. You know, and I hope it's been in line.
Okay.
All right. Anything you wanted to add as to the subject content, or shall I dismiss you now?
No, that's good. I had my little time. That was my 2 points.
Well, and you have to give me accolades, because I had a conversation with John earlier, and John mentioned, that he screwed up, and Renee was right, and I said, well, you know, you need to apologize, and he said, yeah, I know, I'm going to do that on the air, so.
I know, but I very much appreciate that, because I tell you, that's another thing I'm a sucker for, because, you know, this is a huge moral character problem that runs throughout our culture. People who don't want to own their boo-boos, and they try to blame their victim and make excuses and everything else. Well, let me tell you, I am an absolute sucker for a man who owns his mistakes. I melt like butter in July.
Well, you're married, though. Otherwise, you could propose to John. And you're married, though. Otherwise, you could propose to John, because he needs a wife. He really does.
Well, I don't know. I think John and I might kill each other.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it, Renee. Hey, seriously, to all you ladies out there, I didn't mean anything about it. I mean, it's literally a compliment to you. I'm really fascinated by it, actually. Oh, let me shift gears and get back into this here. Okay, like anybody else suspected of a crime, Officer Wilson was presumed innocent and could not be forced to incriminate himself. Unlike a mundane suspected of homicide, however, Wilson was given the luxury of crafting his story to fit subsequent disclosures in consultation with a police union attorney who added the necessary melodramatic flourishes. Thus, we are told that when Wilson grabbed Brown's forearm through the window of his SUV, the only way I can describe it is, I felt like a 5-year-old holding on to Hulk Hogan. That was the officer talking about Michael E. Brown Jr. Now, although the 18-year-old Brown possessed nearly 300 pounds of unathletic girth, Wilson was no nebbish like Brown. He stands 6'4" and weighs 210 pounds. And after being shot during the altercation in the SUV, Brown displayed the face of a demon, according to Wilson. After fleeing from the officer who continued to shoot at him, Brown could be seen almost bulking up to run through the shots. Wilson continued, a line that doubtless reflects the verbal artistry of a well-paid police union attorney, like others accused of a crime, Wilson had the right to counsel of his choice, and in his case, however, a defense attorney was redundant. The grand jury transcript from September 26 listed the case as State of Missouri versus Darren Wilson, but the assistant St. Louis County District attorneys who examined the suspect behaved more like defense attorneys than prosecutors. Their advertised task was to determine if probable cause existed to justify criminal charges against Wilson for the shooting of tardily identified robbery suspect Michael Brown. The actual function they performed was to rationalize the killing in a way that would bring about Robert McCulloch's intended result, the no billing of the former police officer. When a prosecutor actually seeks an indictment, he will not go to the trouble of presenting potentially exculpatory evidence. In fact, as former federal prosecutor Sidney Powell documents in her infuriating new book, Licensed to Lie, prosecutors generally go through heroic contortions to withhold, to disguise, misplace, or exclude, quote, Brady material, unquote. McCulloch, a prosecutor not known for his solicitude toward the accused unless they are swaddled in the vestments of the state's coercive caste, made a point of making the case for the defense, which is a function usually carried out during a criminal trial by counsel for the defendant. Now, at various points in the 92-page transcript, We can show how McCulloch carefully guided Wilson through his testimony, prompting him to follow the script provided by his police union attorney and either ignoring or gently correcting him when caught in the kind of contradictions upon which a motivated prosecutor would triumphantly seize. Now, for example, Wilson claimed that at one point Brown had complete control over the officer's firearm. Under the kind prompting from one of the unusually solicitous assistant DAs, Wilson admitted that the gun never left his hand and that his finger was on the trigger. Wilson states that after he confronted Brown and Johnson, whom he did not identify as robbery suspects, Wilson, until after the initial contact for jaywalking, Brown's hostile attitude prompted him to call for backup and then cut him off with his police vehicle. And when he tried to leave the vehicle, Brown allegedly shoved the car door shut and glared at the officer with an, oh, I like this word, intense face, as if intending to overpower him. At some point, Wilson isn't clear on the details. Brown supposedly slugged the officer through the window. Reciting a well-rehearsed script, Wilson told the jurors that he scrolled through the non-lethal options before pulling his gun. Yeah, okay. Get back, or I'm going to shoot you, Wilson says he told Brown. And at this point, he immediately grabs my gun and says, you are too much of a, can I say pussy on the air? I guess so. Too much of a pussy to shoot me, the officer claimed. Later in his testimony, Wilson elaborated. He didn't pull it from my holster, but whenever it was visible to him, he then took complete control of it. Wilson threatened to kill Brown, and Brown refused to shoot. Or, excuse me, refused to be shot. How do you refuse to be shot? Is that possible? So, I ain't gonna let you shoot me. That one sounds like, have you ever seen the movie Tombstone? Right, when Wyatt Earp just got through with the gunfight at OK Corral, and Sheriff Behan came up to arrest him, and Wyatt Earp says, I'm not gonna let you arrest me today. That's what that sounds like to me. Brown refused to be shot. This complicates the self-defense claim, which rests on Wilson's assertion that by the time he had been struck twice by the behemoth, Brown, and was afraid that the third one could be fatal if he hit me right, yet despite being repeatedly pummeled by a man mountain of paternal strength, a veritable Hulk Hogan, if not the Incredible Hulk, Wilson's face displayed no visible injuries. Alleged blows were sufficient to justify lethal force even against a fleeing unarmed suspect, Wilson insists. Now, it's, yes, let's see. Wilson's face displayed no visible injuries. Yes, I don't know how many of you out there have seen the photographs of it, but I looked at the photo, and obviously Renee looked at the photo, and John looked at the photo, and yes, he displayed no physical injuries. He goes on to say, though, my gun was already being presented as a deadly force option while he was hitting me in the face, he told the jurors, later saying that hurling lead down a residential street was justified in order to, quote, protect the public from an unarmed suspect who had assaulted an armed police officer. Michael Brown was apparently a shoplifter and a bully. If this was the case, he should have been compelled to make restitution to the victims. Interestingly, though, Wilson claims to have seen stolen cigarillos in Brown's hands during the assault. Well, they were never found. While there's no clear evidence that Brown ever assaulted Wilson, it is indisputable from Wilson's testimony that he was the one who escalated the encounter by threatening lethal force. This is problematic even under positivist legal precedents, per Bad Elk versus U.S. Brown. Even as a criminal suspect didn't have the duty to die simply because Wilson had the means to kill him, and according to Tennessee versus Garner, Wilson didn't have the legal authority to kill Brown simply because he tried to evade arrest. Now, one needn't consider Michael Brown to be a winsome innocent in order to believe that Wilson's conduct in this incident was at best thoroughly suspect and suitable for examination in a genuinely adversarial process by the kind Robert McCulloch was determined to avoid. In short, the cop didn't have any injuries on him, and Michael E. Brown refused to be shot that day. Now, that's what I got out of that. Okay, so moving right along, what time is it? We've got 2 minutes before the break. And since we got Thanksgiving come up, I'm not going to be here tomorrow, folks. I've got an event to go to tomorrow night, so I'm taking off early. We'll be back at 3. I'm going to tell you what Thanksgiving's really all about when I get back. Stick around. Final segment coming up. Thank you.
First Amendment privacy is rare. Kryptonite.com has data encryption software for your protection. Kryptonite.com keeps information safe from NSA spying, cloud data mining, identity theft, and corporate espionage with encryption protection giving you 100% privacy in conversations, data storage, and transmission. Keeping your free speech safe from data theft with the best encryption software in the market for easy-to-use, low-cost data security. Kryptonite.com, CryptoNyte.com.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit herbalhealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. Herbalhealer.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Back, final segment of the American Awakening. Hey, did you know, most Americans don't really know what they are celebrating when they're celebrating Thanksgiving. We got the Thanksgiving holiday coming up Thursday, okay, and everybody's going to be eating turkey. I ate some Sunday night at an event. But in American folklore, Thanksgiving is a holiday that originated in 1621 with the pilgrims celebrating a good harvest. Some historians say that this event is poorly documented. Others believe that the Thanksgiving tradition traveled to the New World with the Pilgrims and the Puritans, who brought with them the English days of Thanksgiving. Now, other historians think the Pilgrims associated their relief from the hunger with their observance of the relief of the Siege of Leyden.
The Pilgrim's Thanksgiving, if it happened, might not have been the first in the New World. Historians say the Virginia Colonial Charter declared a day of Thanksgiving in 1619, and other historians say the first Thanksgiving was observed by the Spanish in Florida in 1565. Now, apparently, the different English colonies and later American states each had their own day of Thanksgiving, if they had one. Abraham Lincoln tried to make Thanksgiving a national holiday in 1863, but the country was divided by the war of Northern aggression. Thanksgiving became a national holiday with the completion of the reconstruction of the South after the War of Northern Aggression and the extermination of the Plains Indians by the Union generals in the 1870s. This kind of taints Thanksgiving as a celebration of the preservation and expansion of the American Empire and accurately reflects the goal of the political forces behind Lincoln. Today, Thanksgiving is simply known as Turkey Day, and a time of retail sales, but as you eat your Thanksgiving meal, contemplate that what you are really celebrating is an empire rooted in war crimes. Because if Lincoln had lost, and if there had been at a time a Nuremberg War Trials Tribunal, Lincoln, Grant, Sherman, and Sheridan would have been hung as war criminals. Sheridan was probably the worst of the lot. His war crimes against the South, especially those he committed in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, must have been forgotten by Southerners who vote Republican. The party of Lincoln and Sheridan. But Sheridan's crimes against the Indians were worse. He attacked the Indians in their winter quarters, destroying their food supplies, and sent professional hunters to exterminate the buffalo, declaring, "Let them kill until the buffalo is exterminated," thus depriving the Plains Indians of their main food source. Now, considering the enormity of the Republican Party's crimes against the South, it is a testament to the forgetfulness of people that Southerners vote Republican. Sheridan expressed well the Republican attitude toward the South, declaring on several occasions that, "If I owned Texas in hell, I would rent Texas and live in hell." In the 1870s, when Democrats won elections in Louisiana, Sheridan, who had power over the state, declared the Democrats to be bandits who would be subject to his military tribunals. And Sheridan graduated near the bottom of his West Point class, but his immorality and viciousness propelled him to the rank of commanding general of the United States Army. And today, he would delight in the endless U.S. bombings of women and children in seven countries. Note, the War of Northern Aggression is the South's description for what those dedicated to preserving the Union called the Civil War. The South's term seems more correct. The Union forces invaded the South. A civil war occurs when contending parties engage in violence for control of the government. But the Southern states were not contending for control of the U.S. government. They exercised their right of self-determination and withdrew from the Union into which they had voluntarily entered. It was an act of secession based on or in divergent economic interests between an export agricultural economy in the South and a rising industrial economy in the North in need of protective tariffs. The Southern secession was not an act of war for control over the government in Washington. And Unionists saw secession as a threat to the empire. Another country could be a contender for the lands to the west. And in his books, The Real Lincoln and Lincoln Unmasked, Thomas DiLorenzo makes a case that the War of Northern Aggression was waged in behalf of empire. He quotes Lincoln to the effect that he would preserve slavery if it would preserve the Union. And if memory serves, DiLorenzo quotes Lincoln's generals advising him not to throw a bone to abolitionists by saying it was a war to end slavery or much of the Union army would desert. And today, Americans think of themselves as citizens of the United States. But in 1860, people thought of themselves as citizens of the states, which, by the way, was just covered in John's show just prior to myself coming on, and I hope you guys were listening. When Robert E. Lee was offered a top command in the Union Army, he declined on the grounds that he could not draw his sword on his native state of Virginia. And Lincoln used the war to establish the supremacy of a central government in Washington over the states to which the Constitution had given most functions of government. The supremacy of a central government that Lincoln established advanced the forces of empire. The war to end slavery, like the Iraq War to protect America from Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, looks more like fictional cover for the employment of violence in pursuit of empire than a moral crusade. Which one do you think it is, folks? Now, I'm going to end this show today with a little snippet from an article. I'm not going to go through the whole thing here. But Renee and I had a little discussion on women never forget anything, right? And sometimes when men are doing something wrong and they're busted by these women, sometimes they get mad. Sometimes they yell. Sometimes they commit domestic abuse. Well, do you know what's happening now over in the UK, folks? Uh-oh. What do we got going here? Somebody calling in already? Yep, we got Blue in Tennessee. All right, I'm going to take Blue in Tennessee. Blue will be the last caller. How are you, girl?
I'm good. But the one thing that you keep saying when you're talking about the Yanks, they're not Yanks. They're carpet baggers.
I never used the word Yank.
You're talking about the North and what Lincoln did and all the boys.
Yeah, but I never used the word Yank. I never used that word.
Well,
you're putting words in my mouth here, Blue. Come on now.
Oh, no, I didn't get it. You did.
I didn't say Yank.
I say it all the time.
All right. So I'm supposed to refer to the North as Yanks and the South as Rebels, right?
Well, of course.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected. I'm owning up to it because you're a woman, and I know I never win an argument with a woman, so it's okay.
Well, we refer to them now. There's stories that go through my family with the possum and the cat. The cat ate the possum. That's a long story. But those that keep coming into my community, we call them carpetbaggers.
Now, the definition of a carpetbagger is somebody who comes down from the North to the South to reap the rewards financially or monetarily from that area. Is that right or not?
Oh, very much so. Right after the Civil War, they came in and they just literally stole stuff. As it stands right now, they're coming to our communities and they're demanding the things that they have in their own communities and demanding that we pay for it to appease them. There's a reason why our community works and the reason why you're here in our community, and you're trying to make us pay for stuff that you wanted in your own community and you could not get it together and pay for it yourself? No, you're a damn carpetbagger. Get out of my state.
Okay. All right. You're right. You're right. Okay, I'm not going to argue that. You're a woman, so there you go. No, I get it. I understand where you're coming. I'm just having fun with you. But anyway, listen, anything else you got? I want to read a quick snippet before I end the show today, because it may come here to haunt us as well. Since we're talking about, women busting men and, never forgetting anything. Over in the UK, I guess men who exercise coercive control over their partners by restricting their personal or financial freedom or through overt criticism could now face up to 14 years in prison under a new law set to be announced by Home Secretary Theresa May this week. I wanted to get that out there because they're looking at making it against the law to yell at your wife. What do you think about that, Blue?
Or to, it sounds like, to control a bank account.
Well, I'm starting, if with all these laws, it's almost like they're making men into, a wuss. Right. Okay. Listen, thanks for the call. We're out of time. I got to go. Okay. But have a great Thanksgiving, Blue. I appreciate it. Okay. All right, folks. End of another day. I'll see you Monday with Susan Lindauer. Okay. You guys have a great Thanksgiving. Stay out of trouble and bye for now.